This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Here we go, hour numero dos of the Rob Brown Show underway right now. Welcome in, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and with you this and every weekday morning from 6 a.m. till 10 a.m., the four most electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment you're going to find anywhere. All gas, no brakes, full send, YOLO and yeet every day. I was going to say all day, but it's not. It's still 10 a.m. All morning, but that doesn't rhyme. It's not as much
fun. Here's the thing. No, thanks to the free Odyssey app. It can be all day if you want it to be.
It absolutely can.
You can play back to back to back to back to back to back however many it takes to go 24 hours of this show. You could do that.
You could listen to this show like, six times a day.
Yeah. Six times four is 24. Yeah, thank you.
Math is hard. That's why I try to.
I was going
to
say eight.
That's why I try not to do math as often as possible. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot we're doing on the radio broadcast today. We've got a lot we're talking about on the radio broadcast today. Obviously, quite a bit of collegiate basketball as the March Madness tournament, which I can say, as I am not selling anything in this segment, kicks off here in just a few hours from right now. And we are going to break down some more first round opening day games coming up here very shortly. We have already spent some time on Clemson and McNeese State, a 5-12 matchup that I think, if there is a 5-12 matchup, as there is just about every year, I think honestly is the most likely of the 5-12 upsets.
So there have been years where that doesn't happen, right?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I don't recall if it happened last year.
Because I think it's in everyone's heads, oh, it's going to happen this year. It happens every year, and people may go through and pick something thinking it's going to be just because you have to pick one.
I'm going to go, let's go back. I thought it maybe didn't happen last year. San Diego State, the 5-1. No, it did happen last year. 12-seed James Madison knocked off 5-seed Wisconsin last year. Last year we had, Gonzaga was the 5-seed and they won. Oh, and the 12-seed Grand Canyon Antelopes knocked off St. Mary's last year. So we had two of them happen last year. And again, I think there's absolutely possibility for two to happen again this year. I think there are two, the Lopes. I think there's two that are most likely. Clemson, McNeese is one of them that I would keep an eye on. Michigan, UC, San Diego is one of them. With all due respect to my guy, Denton Day, a Liberty Flames grad, I do not think that they are going to be able to get Oregon. And your other 5-12 matchup is Memphis, Colorado State. I actually do have, as I'll give you some of my bracket reveal as the show rolls on, I actually do have Colorado State upsetting Memphis, which would be a 12-5 matchup. I have two 12-5 upsets in round one. I'll tell you what the other one is later on in the show. Stick around. That's called a tease. You're welcome. So, we're going to talk more bracketology. But before we do, I want to remind you that this year, instead of doing a Rob Brown Show bracket challenge, Lonzo and I, as just a couple of natural born heels, just a couple of guys that love being the bad guys. Hey, yo. No, that, no, that one, Pat. That one. Dang it. Really cool. Real cool Scott Hall moment there, and I blew it. Lonzo and I, a couple natural born heels. We decided, you know what we're doing this year? We're not asking permission. We're just seizing the moment. We're doing an invasion. We're doing a WCW NWO invasion. We collectively, the Rob Brown Show, you, the Armada, we are invading the Wire to Wire Bracket Challenge. We're going to do our bracket challenge in their bracket pool. We're going to do our bracket competition in their bracket competition so that when it's all said and done and the nets get cut and the confetti's being swept off the hard one and one shining moment has come and gone and the 2025 March Madness basketball tournament is entered into the annals of history, we're going to open.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna, that's what I'm going to do. I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to reach across the aisle and shake hands. No.
Hey.
No. If we win, they're going to know we won.
Quick question. When your son was a wrestler and he ended a match, did you not instruct him to shake the hand of his opponent and say congratulations or nice job, nice effort, see you in the next one? Or did you say, I want you to stand across from him, I want you to cross your arms in front of your chest, and then I want you to full pelvic thrust right in that man's face and let him know you dominated?
All right, Rob, so there are amateur sports, and what
this
you do in high
school.
This is
amateur sports.
We are not amateurs. We are paid professionals. I don't think of you as an amateur. I'm guessing you don't think of you as an amateur.
That depends on what day you ask me.
We are paid professionals, okay? I get paid to win, all right? That's what I'm going to do.
Here's what we're doing. We're taking the Armada, we're raising the mainsails, and we are sailing off into the Wire to Wire Bracket Challenge so that when Luther is done singing and a banner starts to be printed to hang in a coliseum somewhere next year, we're all going to go over to the Bracket Challenge and we're going to open it up into the leaderboard. You're going to see bracket name TRBS, bracket name TRBS, bracket name TRBS, bracket name TRBS, bracket name TRBS from the top to the bottom of the leaderboard. We are taking over to prove to Wire to Wire, to the Tolos, that the Armada knows ball. So here's what I want you to do. If you want in on the bracket challenge, and oh, by the way, the highest Rob Brown Show bracket in that bracket pool, like we have done every year since I got here, will get an opportunity at any point in the next 365 days until the tournament starts next year to call your shot, to come on the show, to have a segment, to talk about whatever you want to talk about. You can come in and talk smack about your rivals. You can come in and talk about how your head coach is the greatest of all time. You can come in and talk about how Rob Brown learned yesterday that there's one particular Cheez-It factory that makes better Cheez-Its than all the other Cheez-It factories, and we can do a whole segment on that. We might later. We'll find out. The point here is, if you were the highest Rob Brown Show bracket in the bracket challenge.
I just so much lost this week. I'm intrigued by the Cheez-It thing.
Oh, we're coming to that. Audio okay. Blitz coming up in 1 hour. No Lulu Kesson today. She got pushed to tomorrow because she has been asked to give a speech to a young and up-and-coming broadcasting and journalism class, which of course she had. Lulu Kesson is a phenom in the world of sports journalism right now. We'll talk to her when she joins us tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
So awesome to meet her in person.
She's the best. She's great. At 8 o'clock, we'll do your audio blitz. I actually have audio for that. We'll come to that later. It's going to be great. So, if you want in, you want to rep the Armada, you want to rep the Rob Brown Show, hell, you just want to represent yourself in the bracket competition, what you got to do is shoot me an email right now. rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. Just request an invitation, and I will shoot it right back over to you, probably within just mere moments.
Why do we not have a lunch wager on this?
Me and you, or us and them?
Us and them.
Make it happen. I'm in because I know ball. I'll win us a free lunch.
All right. So yeah, but see, it has to be combined. So as bad as I am, you have to be that much better.
I think the top bracket between the four of us, the other show buys lunch. I'm good with that.
So you don't want to do combined. I mean, we're teams here. I think it should be combined.
Do you want them combined? I'm in if you are.
I do. It's
okay.
It's us against them, not us individually against
so average,
them individually.
So average score of the show combined between both brackets on both hosts. Losing team buys lunch. You send that request over to Wire to Wire, and if they accept, I'm all in.
All right, I'll text them after 8 o'clock. Let them
sleep. Yeah. Cole Bryson's up right now. He's one of those weirdo early risers. He's 100% awake right now. Shoot me an email, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. Josh just sent me an email that just popped into the inbox a second ago. He's getting a link. You can too. rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. I'm going to reply with a link to an invitation to the bracket competition. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go in. You're going to register. You're going to fill out your bracket, and then you're going to name that bracket. And what I want you to do is name your bracket. I don't care what you name it. Name it anything that you want to. And then at the end of the bracket name, I want you to put TRBS, The Rob Brown Show. Bracket name, TRBS, as the end of that name. That way we can identify all of the Armada brackets within this bracket competition that has evolved into a station-wide, a show versus show bracket competition. And we're going to see how they all stack up at the end of the dance. rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. Shoot me an email asking for the link. I will pop it over to you in just mere seconds. Let's go prove to the world the Armada doesn't just know ball, but they are elite knowers of ball. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the water cooler cheat sheet. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start tacking sports with the coworkers this morning. Once you do, this is what you will be talking about. Let us dive right in to item number one. We won't spend a ton of time on this because we're going to spend a ton of time on this moving forward. Ladies and gentlemen, the play-in tournament has concluded. The tournament starts today. Last night, Xavier knocked off Texas. 86-80 was your final in that one. The Musketeers on their way to the dance after eliminating the Texas Longhorns. You had 22 points out of Marcus Foster, 15 out of Zach Fremantle. This team shot 55% from the floor. They shot 48% from range. They out-rebounded the Horn. I mean, everything went right for these Xavier Musketeers last night, and their reward is a trip to the dance. They are not alone because another team qualified last night. That would be Mount St. Mary's. The Mountaineers knock off the American University Eagles last night. 83-72 was your final. 24 for Jenny Cordelia, 22 for Dola Adebayo, 17 for Dallas Hobbs, all out of the starting role. You thought the 55% Xavier shot was impressive? How about 58% from the floor for Mount St. Mary's last night? They also shot 41% from range, and they out-rebounded American 24-18 when it was all said and done. Their reward, an opportunity to join the Musketeers inside of the bracket. And we get started today. We get started early. 12:15 this afternoon, number 9, Creighton. The Blue Jays start an all-birds opening contest as they take on the Louisville Cardinals at Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky. High Point and Purdue at 12:40, just 25 minutes later. Then at 1:30, Montana. The Grizz taking on the Badgers of Wisconsin at 1:30 p.m. SIU and Houston, a one seed. Your first one seed in action at 2 o'clock out in Wichita. The Auburn Tigers, the number 1 overall seed, will open up their tournament run at 2:50 p.m. when they take on Alabama State. And then at 3:15 this afternoon. The Clemson Tigers, 7.5-point favorites, will do their darndest to avoid being the 12-5 upset in the opening round when they take on Will Wade and his McNeese State Cowboys. We're talking a lot of tournament basketball today. We'll keep rolling with that as the show rolls on, but we got more we got to get to in the water cooler cheat sheet, so let's get to item number two. After the massive success of the Four Nations Face-Off, which took place during the NHL's All-Star break, Gary Bettman, the commish of the NHL, said yesterday that the league is prepared to roll out something, quote, entirely different, end quote. In February of 2026, when the New York Islanders were set to host the world's top skaters at UBS Arena for the NHL All-Star Game, but it may not be an all-star game. Bettman said yesterday, quote, we're reevaluating how we want to do things because I think we've raised the bar about as high as you can for an all-star game in any sport. And we want to make sure whatever we do is up to the standards that we have created. The Four Nations Face-Off was the league's first foray into a best-on-best international competition since 2016 when the NHL staged the Hockey World Cup. It was a tremendous success. It was the talk of the town for a hot minute there. And because it was so good, now the NHL says, as NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly said, quote, everything is on the table for what may come next. Now, it's going to be a couple of weeks before we have any momentum on this because the NHL and the NHL Players Association will be sitting down on April 1st for their next round of collective bargaining agreement negotiations because the CBA, as it stands, expires in September 2026. And both teams will need to agree on a plan for the All-Star game. But I got to think, because hockey players are a different breed of cat, that they are going to be on board with doing something different and special. We will find out. I told you when this went down, this thing was such a success. I suspect we have probably, with the exception of Major League Baseball, seen the last of traditional all-star games at the highest level. The NFL ditched the traditional Pro Bowl years ago. I think the NHL is next. The NBA will follow in line. The only sport that we will have a true all-star game in will end up being Major League Baseball. We'll talk more about that later on in the show, but we've got to rip through item number three. The NFL's competition committee will be meeting up very soon in order to discuss potential rule changes that will go into effect in the 2025 season. Now, we have talked about some of them so far. Some teams want to see a ban of the tush-push or brotherly shove or whatever you want to call it. Yesterday, the Detroit Lions proposed a significant NFL rule change that would impact just about everybody. Under the Lions' proposal, the division winner with the conference's best record would still receive the number one overall seed in an opening round bye in the NFL playoffs. But every team after that would be stacked in the seeding based on regular season records, not whether they won their divisions or received wild card bursts. That is to say, if you were a wild card winner, but you won 14 games in the division, a la the Minnesota Vikings, you would not have to go on the road. You would host. That approach could have a significant effect on the Lions, on the NFC North, really on the entire NFC last year. The Lions and Minnesota Vikings finished 15-2, 14-3, and OBT Dubs, if you were keeping track, the Green Bay Packers finished 11-6. If this rule was in place, the Lions, who received the NFC's number one seed, but the Vikings were seeded number five and the Packers number seven, would have seen that shift around based purely on records. The Vikings would have been the three seed. They would have hosted in the opening round. I'm sure the Vikings would have loved that compared to what did happen. The Packers would have been the five seed instead of the seven seed. Now, this has been proposed before. Back in 2023, the LA Chargers made a similar proposal. It had very little support. Proposals require at least 24 votes to be approved, but owners are generally more likely to approve proposals that are endorsed by the competition committee rather than individual teams. We will find out if this is going to go, and we will talk more about it coming up on the show. Owners are scheduled, if you're curious about it, to meet March 30th through April 2nd in West Palm Beach, Florida. They will discuss this rule and others, and I'll tell you about those coming up in the very next segment of The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to circle back around to college basketball coming up here in just a little while from now. However, we're going to talk a little NFL here for just a minute. By the way, if you want in on our bracket competition, we are invading the wire-to-wire bracket pool so that we can point out just how damn good the Armada is. If you want in, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. Just request the link, and I will send it over to you when you get your bracket in, selected, and registered. When you name your bracket, please put TRBS at the end of your bracket name. So name it whatever you want, but make sure TRBS is at the end of it so we can identify the Rob Brown Show listeners within that bracket competition. TRBS at the end of your bracket name. Shoot me an email to rob.brown@thefanupstate.com, and we will get you in and registered. Do have to remind you that the brackets lock very soon. We have our first game at 12:15. When that game tips, the brackets will be locked. So if you want in, you need to get in right now. rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. Send your request. I will send a link to you to get in, to get registered. Select your bracket, name it, put TRBS at the end of the name, get them locked in before the first tip at 12:15 between Creighton and...
So is this like a hostile takeover on our part, like a corporation thing, or is this a pirate invasion?
This is the outsiders and Hogan being the third man invading WCW back in the day. It's the invasion, man. It is us walking in with a can of black spray paint and just spray painting TRBS all over the place. We got to let the people know who the hell we are. Lonzo, I just figured it out. I just figured out what we're doing. We're making Rob Brown Show shirts, but we're gonna put TRBS across the front in the Outsiders font. That's what we're doing. That's our next project.
I don't know if that's copywritten.
I mean, I don't think you can trademark a font unless you're like Disney or Coca-Cola. I don't think anybody can just trademark. I don't know. I'm an idiot. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm saying that. I have no idea if that's true or not. I'm just going to assume until I'm told it is, that it is.
Don't you know a guy who makes t-shirts?
I sure do. We may just have to get a couple of exclusives printed up, you know, just for, especially if we win this damn thing. That might be the catalyst to a little merch, man. All right. Let's talk some NFL here for just a minute, as we were talking about just ever so briefly seconds ago. A handful of rules changes have been proposed by teams to the National Football League Competition Committee. Now, there are two ways that rules in the NFL can be changed. Both of them end with a vote, but the rules changes can be proposed one of two ways. Number one, teams may make the proposals. And number two, the competition committee itself may make a proposal for a rule change. Once the proposal is approved, it can be brought up for a vote by the 32 owners of the National Football League. And if 24 or more of them agree, then that rule is officially changed. Here are the rules proposal changes that have been put forward so far. Number one, a banning of the tush push, the brotherly shove, the Jalen Hurts special. The Green Bay Packers submitted a request for the tush push to be banned. The rule they have proposed would prevent players from, quote, pushing a teammate that is lined up directly behind the snapper and receives the snap immediately at the snap. Effectively, if a player lines up and takes a snap from under the center, that player may not be pushed, shoved, yanked, or yoinked in any direction after he receives that snap if it is immediate. Now, one of the problems I think you're going to see with this is I think there's a workaround, which is instead of having, let's say, Jalen Hurts take the ball and do as Jalen Hurts does, which is, I've explained this a bunch of times, how this play actually works. He does not just start going forward. He actually takes a slight step to the left, gets in between the center and the left guard, and they create a Spartan phalanx to drive forward. I think you'll probably see Hurts do something like take a step back, then wedge in there. And maybe that's enough to stop the play. I don't know. We'll see if it breaks down. I don't think it's going to, but we'll find out. Proposal number two, a proposal that would eliminate the automatic first down that comes with an illegal contact or defensive holding penalty. This penalty was also submitted by the Lions. Shockingly, they led the league last season with 11 flags for defensive holding. All of those 11 automatically resulted in a first down. Rule change proposal number three, submitted by the Philadelphia Eagles, your reigning defending Super Bowl champions. The Eagles propose that both teams be guaranteed one possession in overtime during the regular season. Now, that rule's already in play in the playoffs, but it is not the regular season. In the regular season, we are still playing by the rules that if the first team to touch the football scores a tutty, the ball game comes to an immediate conclusion. This one, I don't know if it is going to happen or not. Why? Because the only reason the NFL overtime rules are the way that they are is so that game X does not roll over into the following game. They don't want to have a spot where the first 5, 10, hell, maybe first quarter of the second game window is delayed or just flat out not televised because the other game, going back and forth multiple possessions, ends up stretching any longer than it needs to. So they said, hey, look, if somebody scores right out of the gate, ball game, let's move on. But then in the overtime, in the postseason, they go the other direction. I honestly think this one's going to pass, but we'll come to that here in just a little while. The Pittsburgh Steelers have put forward a proposal that would, quote, allow direct contact between pending free agents and teams that are pursuing them during the three-day negotiating window that precedes the opening of the league year. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that off the top of my head, I know every single little rule, intricate, intimate of the NFL rulebook as far as contact between players and teams. That three-day window, we call it the legal tampering period. Coaches and teams can basically have contact with agents, but not players directly, which I think is dumb. I don't know if it's going to pass or not. I suspect every single player will likely be in support of this. We'll see. I don't know. And then another proposal submitted by multiple teams that would allow preparing K-balls. These are footballs that are used exclusively by and for kicking, that are used for kicking before game day, as teams are allowed to do with the balls that are used on other plays. So basically, a quarterback can go into the equipment room the day before a game, and as long as he inflates them properly and correctly, they can go in there and they can manipulate that ball. They can rough it up. They can take some sandpaper to it, give it a little extra texture, whatever it is that quarterbacks do. I don't know. I don't care. Basically, they're saying, look, if our kicker wants to do a little something special to the football, rough it up a little bit, maybe smooth it out a little bit so it's a little more aerodynamic. I don't know. I don't care. They should be allowed to do. I care about, effectively, I care about four of these rules. I think the concept of banning the tush push is real dumb. It's real dumb. I don't like that. And this is why I've said before, I'd be embarrassed if I was a Packers fan right now. Embarrassed.
So far, all the rules that you mentioned, this would be the one I think it will get passed.
I don't know, because I'm
with you. If you can't stop it, that's on you. But I think this would be the one that passes, that they'll get rid of this.
I mean, look, you might be right. I might be crazy.
Because there was a time when you could not push a player. A player could not push the ball carrier to help them. And they just need to get rid of that altogether. I think the majority of the time that the NFL has existed, that rule was not in place until, I don't know, like the last decade or something.
Here's how it feels to me.
I shouldn't be able to pick that little running back up and help him get a little bit further.
I think that is effectively, as a defense, your job is to stop the guy with the football. Like this to me, and I will acknowledge that while Rob Brown ordinarily, and quite frankly, prides himself on, most of the time, I think, being able to remove emotion from the game. Not saying that a thing should be a particular way because it feels that it should be that way. Or
except for pass interference.
Pass interference is pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
It's pass interference.
You talk about removing emotion from it. Pass interference still, you can't help but talk about it with emotion.
You want emotionless? It was pass interference. Was it or was it not pass interference?
It wasn't called.
Was it pass interference?
No, because it wasn't called.
If a man's driving 80 and a 30 and he's not given a ticket, is he speeding? Yes. Yes. Now I'm emotional. Anyway, I pride myself in being able to take emotion out and just using logic and reason and all that good stuff. And I'm not perfect. I'm a human being. Emotion's going to get me sometimes. Like when my co-host and executive producer decides to be a troll live on the air for no good reason at all.
That's my whole career, dude.
That's also fair. Just play better defense, right? Like, just play better defense. I don't know what to tell you. Should we get to a point that saying running a three-man flood concept on one side of the field's illegal because it's real hard for two defensive backs to stop three guys? No, figure out how to get around it. Figure it out. Figure it out. Get in the white room. Get on the chalkboard. Grab yourself a piece of chalk. Draw something up and figure it out. All right? That's dumb, and I hate it. There's my passion. I care about the defensive holding penalty with the automatic first down attached to it. I care about it, and at the same time, honestly, don't really know how I feel about it yet. I really don't. I think I'm okay with, just like holding on offense, it's a 10-yard penalty, and if that's a first down, it's a first down. If it's not, it's not. I think that's the way I'm leaning right now. But I also understand that a defensive holding is frequently utilized because a guy recognizes how he's about to get cooked for a 42-yard Hail Mary pass down the right-hand side. And once he realizes, uh-oh, Tyreek's got me by two steps, and I'm about to give up an 80-yarder, I just grab him from the back and hang on to that jersey, right? Like, I kind of feel like there is a strategic advantage to defensive holding that doesn't exist for offensive holding, so maybe that's the reward. I don't know. I got to think about that one. The overtime rule I'm totally in favor for. Yes, both teams should be given a possession. Both teams should be given a possession. That one is not even a brainer to me. Now, I understand that. Like I said, that has more to do with scheduling and television display than it has to do with actual football. But I'm going to go ahead and say, just do it and work with a, you know, work with a group to come up with a duo box or something if we need to. I don't know what to tell you. Write it into the next TV contract that if a game goes into overtime, it's double boxed with the next window until that game concludes. I don't know. Figure it the hell out. I think those are the only rules that I like genuinely care about. All right, we'll see if any of them pass. We'll talk as we get closer to March 30th when the owners meet and decide if any of them pass. Let's talk some more basketball on the flip side. The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. All right, let's take a look at the college basketball bracket. Getting started today, as we have mentioned a couple of times so far, at 12:15 out at Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, when Creighton and Louisville will tip off. Then at 12:40, High Point and number 4 Purdue, Montana at Wisconsin at 1:30, 2 o'clock, SIU and Houston. Alabama State takes on number 1 overall Auburn at 2:50, McNeese State and Clemson up in Providence, Rhode Island at 3:15, 4:05, VCU, BYU, 4:35, Georgia and Gonzaga. The Bulldogs taking on the Bulldogs out in Wichita. The SoCon Conference champion Wofford Terriers get number 2 Tennessee at 6:50. That's also out in Lexington. I'm really interested in that game, too. And I'm really interested in that game because there is an annual Rick Barnes postseason collapse. It happens every year. For whatever reason, Rick Barnes teams just fall apart at the point that they need to not do that the most. And while it's usually a bit later in the tournament, usually a little bit different in the tournament, why not Wofford? Why not the Terriers? Why not the Upstate Zone? Pulling off one of the biggest upsets of all time, getting that dub. That one's at 6:50 tonight, 7:10 Arkansas and Kansas, 7:25 Yale and Texas A&M, Drake and Mizzou at 7:35, 9:25, got a little bit of a break there. Utah State's at UCLA at 9:45, Omaha is at St. John's, UC San Diego taking on Michigan in a 12:05 matchup at 10 o'clock, then at 10:10 UNC Wilmington taking on Texas Tech out at Wichita to wrap us up for the day. So let's talk about some of these opening round games, at least the ones that look like they're going to be the more fun games. We'll start with, there's nothing with Auburn, Alabama State. With all due respect to the Yellow Jackets out of Birmingham, Alabama, Auburn.
It was a great victory by them.
Great victory.
Yes, it was.
Hail Mary, full court pass to a layup with 0.7 seconds left to get the ticket punched. Incredible moment. March Madness got started before March Madness got started because of the ASU Jackets. And their prize, their reward for doing so, is that they earn an opening round matchup against Jani Broome in the Auburn Tigers. Now, I am interested in this game, not so much because I think we have our next 16-1 upset brewing. I don't. Auburn's favored by 32.5 points. I think Auburn's going to be fine. What I am interested in with these Auburn Tigers is instead the way that their season ended. The season ended with Auburn losing 3 out of their final 4. They lost on the road at Texas A&M. Now, do we write that off? I don't know. It was senior night for the Aggies. They're a cult. They love celebrating their cult members. senior night in basketball is usually a very emotional night, a very emotionally charged night. And so on one hand, I kind of want to look at this game and I kind of want to go, I don't know, man, like this Auburn Tiger basketball team had just played a very good Kentucky team a few days before that. They won that game pretty comfortably, too. They had played right before that at home against Ole Miss. Chris Beard's Ole Miss Running Rebels are one of the most physically impressive teams defensively in the SEC. Yeah, Auburn won that game by 30, but for the first, I don't know, 22 minutes of that game, they were getting the hell beat out of them. Game before that, they beat Georgia. That's the same Georgia team that was the last team in the regular season to defeat the Florida Gators before Florida went on a run and became one of the most popular selections to win the 2025 college basketball national championship game. That was a real tough run again. And by the way, before Georgia, they had Arkansas under John Cal, a team that was trying to find itself, prove itself a little bit down the stretch to make sure that they came off the bubble and got themselves a ticket. And in case you were maybe more curious, the game before that, they were on the road at Alabama, Auburn was. That end of the season stretch, let me tell you how Auburn's schedule ended up. You ready for this? At Ole Miss, top 25 team, tournament team. Against Oklahoma, tournament team. Against Florida, they took an L, 90-81, tournament team. At Vandy, tournament team. At Alabama, tournament team. Against Arkansas, tournament team. Against Georgia, tournament team. Against Ole Miss, tournament team. Against Kentucky, tournament team. Against A&M, tournament team. Against Alabama, tournament team. Against Ole Miss, tournament team. Against Tennessee, say it with me, tournament team. Auburn did not have a non-tournament team matchup in like the final three weeks of the season. So on one hand, I kind of expect that they would slow down a little bit, right? I kind of expect that they would be beat the hell up a little bit, right? On the other hand, they lost three out of the last four. They lost against Texas A&M on senior night. Yeah, it's emotional, sure. You know what other games are emotional? Every tournament game is emotional. Every one of them. You're done and you go home. You lose and you're out. There are seniors on every team in this tournament who recognize if they take an L, they're done. That's the career. Every game is going to be emotionally charged. So that A&M game worries me a little bit. They lost against Alabama. Maybe not as big of a deal. Alabama's a 2 seed in this tournament. It's one of the best teams in college basketball, except this game was at home. Yes, Mark Sears stepped up and hit a redonkulous tray with seconds left to go to steal the dub from Auburn, but they lost the game. They beat Ole Miss by 5 in the tournament. Beat them by 5. Again, I like this Ole Miss team. I like this team defensively. I think they are, to me, one of my favorites because of just how defensively minded they are, right? Like Coach K, you have heard him say a lot of times, you want to win the March Madness tournament, yeah, it's nice to go score 77 a game, but if you want to win the March Madness tournament, you got to be a crazy good defense. You got to be able to put the nose to the grindstone and go win on the stat lines that ain't stat lines. You got to do it defensively. Good rotation, good communication, talking, hands moving, feet shuffling. You got to be able to do all of that. Chris Beard's Ole Miss Running Rebels team are maybe the best illustration I have of that in this tournament. 1-5. And then they took on Rick Barnes in Tennessee, lost that game 70-65, dropped 3 of their last 5. Auburn's been my favorite team this year. Auburn's been a team I have been talking about promoting. I promoted them all season long on BetMGM Tonight. I promoted them all season long for Jahni Broome to be the player of the year. And all of a sudden, I find myself very, very worried about these Auburn Tigers. And I have them in the Final Four. I've got Auburn coming out of that region. I've got Creighton over Louisville tonight. I think Louisville's a little overhyped, and I think the Jays are a team that do this kind of crap every year. It's an 8-9 matchup. It's not exactly the world's biggest upset, but I like Creighton tonight over Louisville. I've got Michigan knocking off UC San Diego. I do have some 5-12 matchups. This is not one of them. I will take the Wolverines to move on, and in round number two, they'll take on the Colt, the Aggies of Texas A&M. I've got them in the win tonight over Yale. That's your four knocking off a 13. I like this Ole Miss Runner Rebel team. I talked about them. They get the benefit of drawing the 64th of 64 teams into the field, the North Carolina Tar Heels. Actually, 68th out of 68 teams in the field, the North Carolina Tar Heels. That game is tomorrow night. Upset alert. Look out for the Heels. So, I don't know how much you invest into, like, the emotional reaction of a team, but we spent, like, 2 weeks hearing a lot of people tell the Philadelphia Eagles over and over, you can't do it. You can't beat Mahomes. You can't beat Reed. They're a dynasty. They're the Chiefs. They're the Chiefs. They're the Chiefs. They're the Chiefs. And all the Philadelphia Eagles did was go out there and dog walk the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. North Carolina, I'm not a bet on emotion guy. I'm not a bet on intangibles guy. I'm not a bet on a feels kind of guy. But North Carolina has been called every name under the sun for the last 3 days. Oh, they didn't deserve it. They shouldn't have gone. They haven't done anything. And by the way, all those things are absolutely true, but it doesn't matter whether they're true or not. It matters what the UNC Tar Heels are hearing. And RJ Davis, one of the best players in the country that is unfortunately playing for a, let's say, mid team to give them the compliment, he's hearing that. He's hearing that. He's hearing that. He's hearing that. I like Ole Miss a lot. Give me North Carolina to pull the upset in round one.
All right, so far, the only thing that we have different is Louisville and Creighton.
Really?
That's it. That's the only thing we have different. But I don't know what I'm doing.
And you went Michigan over UC San Diego.
I did.
I respect that.
I went Auburn winning. I got
so there's
Texas
a man
A&M.
Who put emotion in the back seat for a pick.
I got Texas A&M over Yale, and okay. And I picked North Carolina over Ole Miss because of the emotion that you're talking about right now.
Yeah, I think it's fair to do
because
that.
They're hearing everyone saying they don't belong, and look at what they just did. That butt whipping could have been worse in that game the other day.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Again, it wasn't a team as talented as Ole Miss. There's also a little bit of like, I've said a bunch of times that the Ole Miss Running Rebels in the Southeastern Conference are having the best individual year in an individual sport than any individual conference has ever had in a single year, and I still believe that is true, but there are some teams that if you really go look and evaluate them, you might kind of see like the SEC was really good, and nobody is saying that they are not, but there are some teams like some Arkansas's, like some Ole Misses that took some not so great L's along the way. They lost to Memphis. Yeah, that's a tournament team. Yeah, that's a 5 seed. Memphis is a team that just beat you with ISO ball. They lost to Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Mizzou, of course, lost to Auburn. So did everybody else. Mississippi State, Vanderbilt lost to Auburn by 30, lost to Florida, lost to Auburn again. Gave Auburn a hell of a game in the SEC tournament game, but as much as I like this Ole Miss team, this North Carolina team's been hearing for 3 days, and by the time they tip off tomorrow night, we'll have been hearing for 5 days. You don't belong here. You don't deserve to be here, and that scares me. I don't think that emotion runs very deep into the field, but I do think it can get them by Ole Miss in round one. I got Iowa State over Lipscomb. I've got Marquette over New Mexico in the 7-10 matchup, and then give me Sparty and the Spartans. Tom Izzo.
Okay, so we only vary on one game.
Out of the entire bracket out of the South, one game difference in the opening round. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. I'm curious to see if that's going to stack up when we move over into the East, when we move over into the West and into the Midwest. We're going to continue breaking brackets down. Let me tell you how the rest of the show is going to stack up. When we come back here in just a minute, it's your Audio Blitz, the best audio we've heard in the last 24 hours. I got some good ones for you in the 8 o'clock segment. At 8:20, Lonzo and I will take a look at our East bracket first round and our West bracket first round. Then at 8:40, Rashad Beard, the host of the Panther Nation podcast, going to drop by to talk a little off-season Carolina football with us. Then at 9 o'clock, the Hate Nass one himself, Hate Nass Mario. Mario Heron from the BetMGM Network going to pop by to give us his thoughts on all the upcoming free agency moves in the NFL, the power rankings of the NBA, and more at 9:20. It's Thursday, and you know what that means. Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo, where we have got no shortage of professional wrestling to talk about. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, we're probably going to go ahead and extend that segment just a couple of minutes because we got stuff to do, and then we will wrap up the show by giving you our thoughts on Clemson's bracket, the Midwest bracket, to wrap up the show. That's how everything is going for the next 2 hours and 7 minutes of your life. However, the next 60 seconds of your life are going to be as good as any 60 seconds of your life has ever been, because Lonzo is about to pleasure your ear holes with this sports flash.
Somewhere I hear Chris down the hall saying, "That's what she said."
Hey-o!
The Mount St. Mary's Mountaineers punched their ticket out of the first four and into the dance with an 83-72 win over American University last night. The Mounties had 22 points out of both Jetty Cordelia and Dola Adebayo. Mount St. Mary's will take on the number one seed Duke tomorrow afternoon. The Minutemen of Xavier are in after knocking off Texas 86-80 last night. Four starters reached double digits, including Marcus Foster with 22 and Zach Fremantle with 15. The Minutemen will face Illinois in the first round tomorrow night, also known as Illinois. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel ride shotgun on your drive home and get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, all Wire to Wire.